Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Thriving Adoptees podcast. So today I'm delighted to be joined by Ryan Anderson. And you usually go by your nickname, right? Pesci, yeah. Yeah.
I got three names. I was born Rashid Marini, Rashid Abufado Marini, and nickname Pesci, and I changed my name, age 19, to Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
So I've got different identities, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Jump between them all. It's
right,
different.
Okay. Yeah. So what would you like me to call you? What should I call you?
Let's be professional here and we'll go with Ryan.
Okay. Okay, buddy. Great. Good on you. So yeah, I've only had two. I feel a bit left out, right? I've only been David Anthony Flower and Simon Jonathan Benn. So I'm missing one, right? It's no wonder that we get like a bit confused about identity, isn't it? Like when we've had at least two names.
Yeah, just you struggle where you fit in. Being when it's Pesci, you're always a bubbly, mad party animal, and I was expected that, and I still am.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I can be sensible and mature. So I take it it's just went with age, really. I've kind of matured a bit, but I still got a bit.
Yeah.
The old in me.
Yeah. But you're still a youngster, right? How old are you, right?
I'm 33, but
Yeah.
I feel like the granddad. But at the same time, I do feel like I'm 16 at heart as well. So, yeah, I'm just trying to live life to the full and come across in a positive way, because I'm a positive guy. And, just try and smash this thing called life, eh?
Yeah. So before we started recording, you said that you were kind of still in the midst of educating yourself.
Yes.
So what sort of things are you focusing on? Because just for the listeners, Ryan's told his story on quite a few podcasts, and we're not going to dive deep into that. I'm going to put some links on the show notes if you want to check him out, but. Just for brevity, you were like, were you 17, 18 when you found out you were an adoptee? Was around that
yeah.
time?
Yeah, just before my 18th. It's called an LDA, Late
yeah.
Discovery Adoptee.
Yeah. Since then, you've gone through different phases, and now you're focusing on educating yourself. So what is it that you're focusing on in your education?
The main thing that we all talk about is mental health, basically talking, I really like to try and inspire people, and I also like to help people, and the way I like to do it is speaking to others, hearing their stories, telling mine, and trying to make sure that the conversations I have with people, they're left with a uplifting attitude, and I've had a positive effect, and help those who are a bit low, just get them feeling that little bit better.
Yeah. So a mentor of mine says people will always, who's a speaker, right? He says that people will always forget what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel. Something like that. They remember how you make you feel. Yeah.
Yeah, I like my quotes. I like motivational videos. I like hearing podcasts, and that can change my attitude when I'm feeling low, because I can be very grumpy, and then something just switches in me. And I'm back in a good attitude.
Yeah.
And once I try and educate myself, and try and, I call it going into the red. I don't like when you're really, really low, you're down in the dumps, you're in the red. I like bringing people out the red, getting them to amber, and then work on yourself to try and get to the green.
Yeah.
And yeah, just, I Some quotes really stick with me. I share them a lot on social media, and some people message, the odd person says, I needed to hear that that day. And sometimes that, even me reading it, I need to hear that. Something clicks with you. And yeah, each person is different, but I like try to spread a message to try and help people.
Yeah. So what's your favorite or some of your favorite quotes? Right.
There was one quote from, I don't know who it was from. It says, it takes a million matches to make a tree, but only takes one match to burn them all. And, or sorry, it's when a bird flies, oh, I've actually, it's my head went there. It's something to do like time and circumstances can change at any time, so don't devalue anyone. And it's like the bird, well, birds flies, it eats the ants, and when it dies, ants eats the birds. So it kind of says it's a position in life where your circumstances will change. So don't, even when things are going amazing for you, don't look down on anyone. And if your position, your position's like down in the dumps, things can change within the day, week, month, a year. And always trying to think positive.
So in the kind of like adoptee circles, we hear, I think we, well, my opinion is we hear far more about trauma than we hear about mindset or attitude. Would you say that? Would you say that?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have suffered from trauma, myself included. And they've got they're hurting. We're all hurting, and we're all trying to heal. And some adoptees are venting, and some adoptees are just trying to basically, what's the word? Trying to get themselves, just change their mindset and just try and tackle life full on.
Yeah.
Some of them don't have the strength as of yet. I try and just be mindful of everyone. I try and create hope with everyone. If someone's not ready to ta face the world, tackle the problems, understand, and for and then hats off to those who are trying to make a difference and trying to move forward in life positive in a
Yeah.
positive manner.
Yeah.
And yeah, I understand. The adoptees were some of us are angry, and I completely understand. I was angry at one point. Some of people don't want to talk, and I was in that position as well. And now I'm trying to try to do a different approach,
Yeah.
and it's working so far. But
Yeah.
I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect. But I'm doing my best, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah. So what's helped you put that anger behind you?
Just the lifestyle I lived, it was I was getting damage in my body, damage in my mind, and then nearly I always like in a state of fear as if I'm going to die, and just the quote like life's too short, and you just to try and approach each situation now. We're not anger, and yeah, I'm doing learning, going to loads of workshops, doing loads of events, going to many support groups, and talking more.
Yeah.
When before I wouldn't talk, and now I enjoy having lots of conversations with people. I'm interested in their life, dig deep. I like to hear the bad points, and I also like to hear the positive points. And yeah, just trying to give an uplifting feeling to everyone.
Yeah. So you were quieter when you were angry, is that what you were saying? And now you're
Yeah.
more open that the anger's dissipated a bit. Or is there any particular moment that comes to mind, Ryan, when that change for you, or was it like more like a gradual process that you that there are no moments that stick out?
Yeah, going back to my story, I found out age 18, and then but the main point was I kept my adoption secret for 12 years, and I remember the timeline of and that was eating me up, and then I finally told the doctors, and the doc had an hour chat with the doctor, then I spoke to a therapist, and then I opened up on Reddit, but I wanted to be anonymous. And then I joined groups, and I wouldn't speak in the groups. And then I started to interact, and I joined more and more Zooms and face-to-face meetings, and then became more confident in speaking. So that's my gradual process of talking and opening up. And then I told my friends face-to-face, and now I've just became this open character who can speak to my best friend, and also speak to a stranger on the street, and quite a lot of people feel comfortable talking to me, which is nice.
Well, you're a nice guy, you know.
Try to be.
Well,
Also, thing is like taking compliments well. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that. I get told all the time when I'm amazing, and I'm only human, and I do a lot of things wrong. So ever since I came out with my story, whenever I do something wrong, I feel guilty, and then I'm also getting highlighted. You done this wrong. So, and I'll unfortunately, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, but I'll be hold my hands up, and whenever I try and make a mistake, I'll try and fix it. And that's what I think we should all do.
so, do you still find it tough to take compliments?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. But it's still nice to hear it, and yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe that's something I need to work on as well. And then obviously it's just what we should all do: try and work on ourselves to love ourselves and be happy and stable and mainly just enjoy life, really. Have a laugh, and be happy.
I've got a little story that I often tell when it comes to taking compliments, and it's a kind of a trivial story, but sometimes it's easier to see the big stuff in trivial examples, right? So it was about 12 years ago, so we were on holiday, and we'd been chatting to some, we were in Turkey, we'd been chatting to some people at lunchtime, and then we saw them again in the evening in the hotel, the bar, which was around the hotel pool. And this lady had a really lovely color dress on, right? And I said, "Oh, I love the color of your dress." And she was like, she looked at me like I was taking the Mickey out of it, right? And I'm going, "No, I really love that color. I really love that color. Years ago, I used to have a polo shirt that color, and I really loved it, and it's bringing me back." But she looked at me like I was absolutely mad for giving her a compliment. She just couldn't take it, right? Now, I think that we sometimes, if we are feeling low self-esteem, then we're feeling so rubbishy that we can't take compliments from other people, because they kind of they contrast. There's too much of a mismatch between how we feel about ourselves and how they feel about us. So I remember having this girlfriend 30 odd years ago, and she put me on a pedestal. And I just couldn't take it. I couldn't take her being so nice and complimentary to me. It's just, there was too much of a clash between what she said and how I felt. Does that bring, can you see anything? Have you got any other similar examples? Anything come to your mind, Ryan, with that sort of
Yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so when I'm previously, I've not been low in a long time, but well, I have actually, but I have my adopted mother to thank. My mother's my rock. She doesn't understand mental health. She's aged 72, and she's dealt with my relentless negativity. And as much as my mum's, when I help people, I like to go in, grab them by the scruff of the neck, and sit or sit them down, cuddle them, not physically, but like make sure that they get better and give all 100% effort. And with my mum not being in the same city for me, I get frustrated that even though she says some positive stuff to try and get me feeling a bit better, I'm like, it's not enough, it's not enough. And then because she keeps going on, because I push her away and she's still standing, eventually I give in and I do start to get better. And then she's really excited that and happy that her son's back. And yeah, you have to approach each person differently if they're in a low mood. Yeah, sometimes compliments can be taken wrong, but sometimes in the opposite effect, like saying something positive can actually uplift someone. So that's what I try and do.
Are you,
And
sorry, Ryan, to talk over you there. Are you saying that your mum perseveres with
yeah,
you?
relentlessly. I give her so many options to walk away, and she doesn't. And that's what I do with a lot of relationships where you kind of, it's like a self-sabotage, and it's probably not a good technique to use, but something that I'm working on. Just for instance, any failed or breakdown in friendships, relationships, I look back and I go, I could have acted a bit better there. And some of that, but that wasn't my mindset then. And if I had that conversation now, I would have been a lot calmer. So it's always trying to just remain calm, have peace, and just kind of deal with situations better, which I'm doing. I have a feeling I'm doing now, and you become a better person from it.
Yeah. So what do you think helps us develop that self-awareness?
Just educating ourselves, addressing what's going on, doing the stuff that you love, keeping healthy, physically, mentally. Yep, and also having that all round balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just and then obviously you need to have the people around you, the support.
Yeah. For me, I think it's also about like a self-reflection thing. So I told that story about the woman in Turkey that wouldn't accept the compliment about the color of her dress. I also talked about me with this girl. But this girl had me on a pedestal, and I couldn't accept the compliment. So it was just over. It was too much for me, right? So I think there's also that self-reflection piece where we can look back at a conversation and look back on at times on in our lives when we've struggled to take some compliments. From others, or we have somehow tried to push people away and just become just reflect on them a little bit, you know? The other thing that came to mind is you talked about your mum's relentlessness. We see there's quite a lot of trashing of adoptive parents on social media, isn't that? Especially
Yeah,
on groups.
I've not got like my mother. I chuck back in her face all the time that what you told me at 18, this has damaged me. And she constantly, relentlessly apologizes for that. And but this is when things are going bad with like, or even I'm having one of my what we call mental health days, a down day. Yeah, I constantly chuck that back. And my adopted dad, he hasn't been the best father even to his biological kids. But what I do like to stress is, it only takes one parent or even someone positive in your life to even keep you going. And even like some not everyone not all of us have got the perfect families. And I'm very lucky to have my adopted mum because she's been fantastic, and she's made me who I am. And my adopted father, he's trying. They've not been the worst, but definitely not been the best. And some people have had worse experiences, and even some non-adopted people have had. They've not got their parents there for them. But if you've not got the parents there for them, then you might have a brother there for you. Or if you've not got your brother, you might have an uncle. If you don't have an uncle, you might have a friend. And then if you've not got a friend, then the support groups out there. But you need to be, well, you don't need to be. It's good to try and approach that when you're trying to heal, not when you're upset and angry. And I just hope that the emotions pass because it's building up. We all do it, or we all, I'm guessing we all have done it in the past. You know, where you build out a lot of anger inside you and then you just explode. I'm trying not to do that anymore. So I like trying to, if there's an issue with someone, try and address it, resolve it, and come to an understanding. Some people don't like to address it. It's very, very difficult to address it. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But I'm some of the books and podcasts I'm read is like you try and put yourself in uncomfortable situations, and that's where you grow. And I'm trying that. I'm just I always say that I'm winging it. So. Is that's what I'm doing.
What does healing mean to you, Ryan?
Healing just means being happy. Being I'll say happy most of the time because you're not going to be happy all the time, most of the time. And it's not angry anymore, peaceful. I feel a bit silly before not remembering that quote. I always try and I think I should have remembered that. So I've just got the quote here. It's about time and karma. It says, when a bird is alive, it eats ants. When the bird dies, ants eat it. One tree can make a million matches, but only one matchstick is required to burn a million trees. So your circumstances can change at any time. So don't devalue or hurt anyone in life. You may be powerful today, but time is more powerful than you. So be good and do good. That was my number one phrase that I've remembered. I should have knew that off by heart, but
Yeah.
I'll get that in there, and then that's what sticks with me.
Yeah.
And people always remember, most people, that good memories with me. And even I try and do that as well with others. Like even people that I don't speak to, there was times where there were. We had fantastic memories together, and then people outgrow each other, don't they? Some do, and then people can come in and out your life, and then it's learning to be okay with that.
The quote that's coming to my mind as you were talking earlier on was a Zig Ziglar quote, which is your attitude determines your altitude. Have you heard that? Attitude determines your altitude. So why I mean, I mentioned this earlier on. Why do you think we don't see this sort of stuff much in adoption groups? We don't hear talk about mindset or beliefs or anything like that. Or is it just me? I'm just not in the right groups.
There's lots of groups out there. I'm making it my mission to say what's out there available, because if some people are really hurt, there's no point in talking or like a different stage to you in your healing process. There's no point in talking about mindset until they're ready. So it's like grieving. We all have to go through stages, and each stage is different for everyone. And yeah, with me, I'm doing as much as I can, speaking on podcasts, doing any media coverage, doing any blogs, speaking to anyone who wants to hear my story. I go to as many adoption focus groups. I'm on a waiting list for NHS for counselling. And yeah, there's lots of workshops I'm doing, and taking part in a film, taking part in a play. I don't know if this is my characteristics. I love to do get on the camera. but that to me makes me feel like I'm doing something, which, and also mainly is being a positive person, or being polite, kind to those around you. Because there's no point in just preaching it on camera and podcasts and not doing it in real life, and doing it to the ones close to you.
Yeah.
And I always mention I'm still learning, still
Yeah.
educating myself, so I'm not perfect, but none of us are.
Here's a quote, one of my favorite quotes that kind of sums up what you were just saying then. So you said, don't be it, don't preach it. I think it's kind of the summary of what you said. Would that be about right? Be it, don't preach it.
No, it's like, don't preach it if you're not doing it yourself. I'm happy with, if we all preached being doing good, if we all tried to be the best versions of ourselves, the world would be a better place. And so that my point is, support, being supportive of anyone. Don't bring anyone down. You see a lot of trolling on social media. You see maybe some people in real life, negativity, conflict. I try and eliminate conflict. And then if it does occur, you try and deal with it, move on. Where do you really get yourself being angry all the time? And when I get angry and I'm low, my mom said, stop blaming everyone. And that annoyed me, but maybe she was right. And sometimes it's not what you want to hear, because your temper's at 100. But it's the a thing I just learned today in a workshop was like a sandwich effect. You say something positive, then you go into the negative about it, and you finish on the positive. So you're just trying to, there's always a positive outcome, but and the times it can be very difficult to find, but you just need to speak to the right people, and then they'll bring the positive out of you.
So what do you think helps us be the best version of ourselves?
Having the right people around you. You're in an environment where it's chaos. The vibes, good vibes, and doing the stuff that you like, you love, really. Whether it's fitness, whether it's holidays, walks, interacting with people, and also your time alone.
Yeah.
Not doing too much so you don't crash, and not doing nothing where you feel useless. But yeah, I don't like to put pressure on any people because some days where I've just been like, my goal of the day is just to eat and just to rest. And it's very difficult for me when I'm 100 miles an hour. But I feel in a good place at the moment. It's always I always don't like to say I feel like in a good place because there's loads of stuff going on in my mind, but I'm managing it. It's this is like accepting that compliment. Whenever we did actually start try to talk to ourselves, like, yes, I am in a good place. Because you can always feel grateful, mindful, that even just alive. And then you could compare yourself to other situations, even though we always compare to, I wish we were a millionaire with traveling the world. And then you remember that there's lots of poverty, so we're always in the middle. And sometimes it can get you down, and then
There's lots of
another.
unhappy millionaires.
Exactly, yeah. Not even about money, financially, even a family, friends. It's up to you to try and change that.
So
And
where do you think happiness comes from for you, Ryan?
talking, speaking to people, traveling, smiling, having a laugh, just doing. For me, I'm like live life on the edge type of guy, and then sometimes I just wish I was just a your average family man, and settled. I feel like I'm a free spirit. I'm 1 minute I'm just I'm on a chilled day, and the next minute I always do things last minute, spontaneous, and yeah, though there is people who are perfectly happy living the family life, and there's people who are perfectly happy traveling the world, and there's people who are sad in both situations as well. But I find my happiness by helping others, because I've been down in the dumps, and if I feel I can help others, so that's my duty to do that, to the best of my ability.
And what are the messages that you want to land for them, the people that you're helping?
It's just basically find your balance in life. Do obviously you know the stuff you're doing wrong, and you know the stuff you could be doing. So, it's hard to spread like a general message because each person's different.
Well, we don't always know what we're doing wrong, right? That was kind of where I was trying to get to with the self-reflection thing, in terms of like looking back on stuff and seeing where we found it tricky to accept compliments, for example, and that self-reflection hopefully would bring in an awareness of wrong is a big word, but it's not particularly helpful, is it, to have a downer on ourselves. But if we don't know, another one of my favorite quotes from a mentor of mine is, it's hard to see the picture when we're in the frame, right? So the idea is that we're recognizing that self-awareness is tough, but we're saying it's where the greatest change comes from when we look at something that we're doing or not doing, and we think, well, and until we know that there's something that we want to change, we don't change it. Does that make sense?
Spot on. Thinking about the question you said is choose peace over conflict. And that can go for something that happened in the future, or even stuff in the past where I'm all about reconnecting people, and you don't want no bad vibes out there. And yeah, I believe people can change, and that's what I'm trying to do. Not even to say that was as bad in the past, but I want to try and change for the better.
Yeah. What do you think drives change? How do you think we change?
Inspiring people, someone to look up to. I didn't start doing this until I watched podcasts, seen other people doing it. So you what when I came out with my story, it's like a ripple effect. And every meeting I go, I steal phrases of what they said, and then I want to spread that message. And if my message is to try and look at the trauma I've been through, but I'm thriving, as you'd say in your
Yeah,
podcast,
yeah.
I'm thriving, and that gives me strength to know that I'm a survivor, and I'm just spreading the message that someone came up to me, one of my friends, and said, "Pesha used to be the man, and now it's just a sob story." When I actually am still the same old me, still have a laugh, and I want to come across like that. I am still funny, and still positive. I deal with a lot of setbacks, but I'm always bouncing back and becoming resilient, just like my mum.
So what does thriving mean to you, Ryan?
Just coming off in a positive way, coming off being proud of myself, being happy, because there's no point in just doing it for show. You need to generally be happy and content within yourself, and making good, positive moves, right decisions,
Yeah.
educate yourself, keep getting better and better, and don't put too much pressure on yourself. You can take breaks. I don't need to keep trying. I try sometimes to be the best every day of every minute, but sometimes it's all right just to chill and
Yeah.
do nothing. Don't put too much pressure.
So what do you think gets in the way of us thriving?
Just life setbacks. We're all going to deal with negativity, bad stuff happen to your life, someone passing away, a relationship breakdown. It's how you deal with it, how you accept it. You're allowed to grieve. Say, for instance, if a relationship breaks down, one person could be really upset and very, very angry, and then they never speak to each other again. And another relationship breaks down, and they're still friends. And that could be even for like partners or family or other friends. And then some relationships where it breaks down, they're enemies, and then they become friends again. And I'm just trying to skip that part of being enemies and just stay
Yeah.
friends if it's possible. Anything's possible. So we just need to learn to cope with that, be more mature. And yeah, that all comes in time, doesn't it?
Yeah. So l looking back, you're 33 now. You found out that you were adopted just before you're 18. What have been your biggest kind of moments of insight into all the stuff that we're talking about? now? What's happened that's led you to this, to these insights?
My journey of trying to search for my family. So there's so many layers to my adoption, being transracial, being transnational, being an orphan, finding out late, not telling anyone, and dealing with a lot of negativity and trying to find my search. It's a needle in the haystack. I'm been on TV in Morocco in two stations. Just try to be relentless and try to look for my family, and it's I'm getting no luck, but I'm just taking it on the chin. And while I'm over there, I'm making lots of friends, and that's my attitude. If I don't find any family with my search, then look at all the friends I've made, and look at all the people I've connected with, and that's by me. Being relentless. So a story was when I was in Morocco for the second time. You're the first person. I was in January. I was in June. No, sorry. Yeah, June 2022, and I was there January 2023. I've got my story in Arabic, and I was showing it to everyone. That's on the train, on a bus, in a cafe, in the hotel. People were telling me, "Be careful." Just a guy from the UK tell look search for family, they think they want money. And from that, I managed to meet the doctor that looked after me. Story was I was in a shop, s said to the 16-year-old kid, "Here's my story. Can you help me?" The guy went, "I know where the doctor works." And he said, and I was buying some clothes. I went, "I'll buy clothes off you. You tell me where he lives." Came to a little deal, and then I found out his shop, and I met the doctor, and he said he remembered me from 32 years ago.
Wow.
And I felt like I was in a movie, just wandering the streets, showing everyone my story. And it was that's my relentless attitude. And then making lots of friends, jumping on people's motorbikes and driving around the city, giving them just networking with people.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoyed. And I will be returning again this year. And I get messages from people to say it was very brave of me to search. And I also get messages. I've also received comments like, "There's no point. What are you doing? Get on with your life." And I can see both comments. I can understand, but this is if they. People need to understand how passionate I am about this. And if I'm passionate about it, let me be and support me.
And I
And
think what gives people the you know what people think gives them the right to pass that sort of comment on somebody else. It's
if, no no I, no that's what I thought. My thought was, how dare you say that? I'm struggling in life. These are people who are close to me. How dare you say that? I'm struggling in life. I need as much support and help as possible. And you say comments like that. And but really, they are, I think they are just doing it because they care and they want it to avoid disappointment. But I'm optimistic. I'm a little bit crazy, but I'll just be like, "Do you know what? There's a chance I could find something. If there's 1% chance, or even whatever percent, I'm going for it." And they're the negative comments. Positive ones, people says, "Ryan, that's amazing." But like when a TV programs in the UK say, "Ryan, your search is too hard. We can't help you," because lots of people give off the suggestions. Yeah, you want to try this, try that. I've done it. I've done most of it. My job's very difficult, and yet I'm still thriving. I'm still trying, and I'm tr like when I go to Morocco, it's a soul searching journey. But I'm sitting there enjoying myself, speaking to the locals, trying the food, enjoying the sun, jumping on quad bikes, and doing the tourist stuff. So I'm enjoying myself while soul searching. And yeah, and who knows how long this journey is going to be. But sometimes you're scared and sometimes I'm excited for it.
So how would you sum up your expectations about this?
Basically, you need to be okay with every situation. If I find family, a cousin, obviously mum and dad, fantastic. Even if I find a cousin, I'm delighted. There's a if you think, put yourself in my shoes. I don't know anyone in this world who's blood related to me, unless you count a third cousin from the DNA sites. So people can understand that, and that make them think. But on the flip side, if I don't find anything, then at least I've tried, and yeah, I could still continue with life, living in Scotland, traveling, going to Morocco every now and again. I built up a big network, and it's nice to see some. These people were strangers, and now they've got my back. There's one person from the DNA site. He's my one of my highest matches. He's helped me so much with the translation, because obviously they speak Arabic in Morocco, and he's helped me so much. And I'm maybe going to visit him in America, and in the next few weeks. And I just want to show how much I'm grateful for all his help. And his attitude is, your family. So that's there's a story of hope that all these strangers are helping me, and I'm very grateful for it. So and also, and I would help anyone else, anyone, what they're going through. And then let's hope everyone helps everyone else, everyone each other.
Did you get any leads from the doctor?
So I've got this illness called Behçet's, and that's in the UK. One in every 50,000's got it, and he knows it in Morocco. And the last patient he had was a year ago, so it's likely if anyone's got that illness, they might be related to me. And this illness is quite it's can affect my. I have to go to the eye hospital every 6 months because it affects my eyesight. It's just an immune system. Like, I can be worn out sometimes, tired. It can affect my joints. So I'm at a disadvantage. So it can, and it obviously causes depression. And I'm on lifelong medication. And it's annoying, but as in the word of Simon, I'm thriving. I've got this illness, and as all and this illness, I've got it really, really low. There's people who have I've lost a little bit of vision in my left eye, but there's people who have had it much worse, and there's people out there who've had much worse illnesses. So it's not all bad. If I need to take medication for the rest of my life, then so be it. If it keeps me alive, so be it. If they might find a cure, it might go away randomly. I don't know. I'm not educated in that. But yeah, it's one point in my life it really annoyed me. But when I matured, I'm able to deal with it better.
So he the doctor obviously remembers you. Does he remember your mum as well?
Yeah, he remembers everyone. Yeah. He remembers everyone, and
But he never had a name. He didn't get any paperwork or name for or anything like that.
no, in Morocco, there was no name on anything. Sometimes there's hidden secrets in the documents, the paperwork, and it's actually with the lawyers at the moment. So I'm playing a waiting game, which I'm playing a waiting game with a lot of things in life. Number one is the NHS trying to get counselling. I think I've got ADHD, so I'm one of been on the waiting list 3.5 years. I think it's 4 or 5 years. waiting for the lawyers to get back to me to see if they can find anything. Waiting for the doctor to find someone with the same illness with me. Yeah, and when I was in Morocco, it's a lot of false hope. Some people go, "Well, I know who your mum is," and it turns out to be a dead end. So it's like a, I'm being like an investigator. If I had the money, I'd buy a private investigator and see what he could find out. But it's very difficult because we're in different countries and stuff. I get very frustrated that every day I'm not there is a day not looking. But just got to be patient and see what happens.
Fantastic, buddy. So I'm just conscious of time. Is there anything that you'd like to share that I've not asked you about, right?
Just what I've been up to really. I've do lots of workshops. I go to as many Zooms and support chats, support groups regarding adoption. So any adoptees out there, I know a lot of groups, and I'm willing to share that information. I go to lots of meals in Edinburgh, where it's just for the homeless. And I sit and chat with them all, and you know what I mean, try and just make them feel that little bit better, spread good energy, and yeah, just try to do as many opportunities as I can. On top of try to search for my family and enjoy life. I like to party, and I like to have a laugh. Well, I love going to loads of events and festivals and stuff. And what I also like to do is share that information. So I'm like, oh, and in a way, I'm looking for friends, and I'm also trying to help others, being like, guys, you know this is on, and yeah, just try and bring as much fun for everyone.
So where can people find out more about you and get in touch with you if they want, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm just on Facebook and on Instagram.
Right.
So I can give you that information. And yeah, we're Ryan Anderson on Facebook and Pesci37 on Instagram. And I feel that if you want to read any of my blogs, my podcasts, my written story or my video, the links are there. It helps some people. It might help you. And
That's great.
I'm happy. I'm happy to chat to anyone and everyone and anyone who wants to talk. Because
Fantastic.
I can talk as well.
Yeah.
And then I don't know
We
if I'm just
noticed, mate.
I don't know if I'm just waffling a load of crap. But
Good on you.
hopefully I've came across in a good way. And it's good to say that I'm feeling good. So good vibes.
Good vibes. Right, buddy, thanks a lot, and thank you to listeners. We will speak to you again very soon. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Take it easy.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye bye.